Gush Camp 1, July 10th, Afternoon Chapel.
Well, in 1960, Abib Bikila was in the Olympics. Can I tell you the story?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to read this story so I get it all correct. He was a last-minute addition to the Ethiopian Olympic team after one of the athletes was injured in a football match. They mean soccer. Abib was a marathon runner and upon arriving in Rome could not find shoes that fit. He then made the decision then that continues to astonish. He chose to run barefoot. Now, does anybody know how far a marathon is? No, more than that. David, do you know how far? 26 miles. That's a lot longer than 26 kilometers. It's a long way. So let me read this again. He chose to run barefoot. Abib did well. And upon the final 500 meters, began to sprint to the finish. His sprint was so fast that when he went from a very narrow lead at 500 meters, he grew that gap to a 25 seconds between him and the second place runner. Abib won gold with a time of 2 hours, 15 minutes, and 16 seconds. Could you imagine running for 2 hours and 15 minutes? Barefoot?
I would love to do that.
And not just kind of fast, but world record fast. 4 years later, Abib was scheduled to run in the Olympics in Tokyo. Just listen, please. 6 weeks before the Olympic marathon was to start, Abib collapsed to the ground during a training run. He was diagnosed with acute appendicitis. His appendix was removed. They took his appendix out, was removed, and everyone assumed that his Olympic plans had changed. To everyone's surprise, Abib began running in the courtyard of the hospital. In Tokyo, people were surprised to see Abib line up at the starting line for the race. Abib won the race. Listen to this. Abib won the race. This time he wore shoes. Abib won the race with a time of 2 hours and 12 minutes. That's 3 minutes faster than his old time. And he was 4 minutes and 8 seconds faster than the second place person. Abib, after his races, you know what he'd do? He'd start stretching and acting like it was no big deal for him. Kind of do some stretching and some exercises because he was still full of energy. How is that possible after such a long time running? By the time his competitors crossed the finish line, he had fully recovered and he was no longer breathing hard. I'm not sure about you, but I wouldn't want to run across this parking lot without shoes, let alone a whole marathon. So, how do you think Abib was able to do this? Do you guys want to see Abib run? I've got a video. Let's watch Abib run this race. Shh. Look for his shoes. There are none. All right. What do you guys think of that? You think that's a...
See the crowd.
You didn't see the crowd?
He was so fast.
He was fast, wasn't he? You know, I think it's just crazy to think that a person could run that far with no shoes on. But you know how he did it?
He inspired himself.
No, he didn't inspire himself. I'm sure God helped him. But let me tell you, rather than guessing, let me just tell you. Abib grew up with no shoes. And he ran and walked everywhere with no shoes. And so when he was training, he would rarely wear runners, rarely wear any footwear when he was training.
Not even socks.
Not even socks. And so his feet and his ankles and his legs became really, really strong. And he didn't even hardly feel the little rocks or uneven ground or maybe even a thorn that might have been sticking up out of the ground when he ran because his feet were so calloused. You know what calluses are? That's that tough skin that gets onto your feet. And they were so conditioned for him to run barefoot that it was easy for him, even though it was astonishing for everyone else. He trained. You know how he won those races? And how he recovered so easily after?
Training.
He trained harder than anybody else. He trained and he trained and he trained and he trained. So, I've got some questions for you. What kind of things does a runner do to train? What does a runner have to do to get faster? Okay? What do they do? They got to stretch, right? They got to make sure that their muscles are all limber. Okay?
They have to do push-ups and run.
They got to exercise, yeah?
They don't train for athletics. They only train for specific things that they'll be doing.
Okay, so they're not training for the 100-meter race. Or they're not training for the figure skating competition. They're training for... the marathon. Okay, I'm going to give you some other things. All right? So one of the things that Beeb had to do is he had to learn to run a really long distance. And so he trained his body by running really long distances every week. Regularly he would train. He also had to get strong, strong muscles. And so he would do squats up and down with weights probably, and he would do different exercises that would allow him to get strong muscles, particularly in his legs and in his core or his torso. He also learned to run. When you run with bare feet, you are not slamming your feet down hard, are you? Because it hurts your heel. So he learned really quickly how to run very good technically. So if I run like this, do you think I'm going to go very far?
No.
Do you think I'm going to get sore?
Yeah.
Well, if I'm running with bare feet particularly, I'm going to get sore fast. But he learned to be light on his feet. He learned that if he had too big a stride, that he was going to get what's called runner's heel. And that's going to be a very painful thing. If he had too short of stride and he was always on his toes, he was going to get what's called shin splints all the way through here. And so he learned to run with really good technique. All right. He also learned that he had to run at a certain pace. If you're not fast enough, guess what? You can't win. So he learned and trained himself to run fast, at a fast pace. And then finally he learned what's called cadence. Cadence is a big word, but it simply means how many... Is that your name? Oh, that's a beautiful name. Cadence means when it's with running, how many steps you take in 1 minute. Now, The average person who likes to go running, they'll maybe be in somewhere around 150 to 160 steps per minute. A world-class athlete, a very good runner, will be somewhere in the neighborhood of 180 steps per minute. And somebody who's an exceptionally fast runner can be above 200 steps per minute. Now, how many seconds are there in a minute? 60 seconds. So that means they're taking more steps. They're taking like three, maybe three and a bit steps every second. That's pretty quick, isn't it? So Abib learned to do all of these things by training. And when he trained really hard and he did all of his training, he got to the Olympics and he could have confidence because he knew that he could go fast and he could win. But does training just happen easily for us? Not for me. Sometimes I need help. Now, is anybody in sports? Okay. Who helps you train and get better at practice? Who is it?
God.
God? Okay. Well, I'm thinking of a person. Okay? Your coach. That's right. Your coach can get you better. They know how to train you. They know how to teach you, whether it be in hockey or track and field or volleyball or basketball or soccer or football. Okay? They know how to help you get better by training you.
My grandpa helps
you. Your grandpa helps you? Yeah, sometimes we have family and friends that can help us too. So, it's really important that a good athlete has a good coach. Do you think Abib would have gotten very far if he didn't have a good coach? Do you think Eric Little, who we learned about yesterday, would have won the Olympic gold medal without somebody to help him, a coach? He needed to learn how to run a new race. He wouldn't have been able to learn that without a coach. I think we need coaches too. We need people to help us in our spiritual lives, in our walk with Jesus. We need a coach that can help us. So what are some things that we need help with so that we can grow in a relationship with Jesus? So not sports, but in a relationship with Jesus.
Scripture, you need scripture.
Okay, so reading scripture. So I don't know everything and I don't understand everything about that the Bible says. I'm old, a lot older than you, but I need somebody to teach me what something says in the Bible. Okay? What else do we need help with? Sometimes I need help with prayer. Sometimes I need help, and sometimes it's somebody that can teach me how to pray, or sometimes it's just somebody that can pray with me because I feel like I just need some help praying for something. Okay? What about worship? We were just singing a bunch of songs, and they were fun songs. But why do we sing these songs? Do we know? Jacob.
To worship Jesus.
To worship Jesus. Well, that's a good answer. But what does worship mean? So let me tell you. Worship means simply this. Making God smile by how we respond to Him. So the words in these songs are pretty good, aren't they? Do you think God's smiling when He hears us singing some of those words? Think God smiles when I'm kind to my cabin leader and my cabin mates?
Yeah.
And my brother and sister?
Yeah.
That can be a form of worship too. So anything that's going to make God smile is our way of worshiping Him. Okay? Sometimes I need help understanding really hard concepts or ideas that are in the Bible. Like, here's an example. I can't see God, not right now anyway. I can't hear God with my ears. I haven't anyway. Other people have. I can't feel Him. I can't smell Him. But I know that God is here. We know that God is here because God is our Creator. And just like you can see, can't see the wind, but you can see the effects of the wind. So the wind blows through the trees and you see the trees moving. But you only see the trees moving. You don't see the wind. So we might not see God, but we can see that God's made every single person here. So we know that God exists. Okay? All right. So sometimes I need help from a coach to help me understand really tricky things like if I can't see God, how do I know He is real? Right? And then the other thing that I need is I need a coach to help me make good decisions with my friends. Sometimes I've made bad decisions with my friends and which friends I should have and which friends I should not have. Has anybody else made some friends that weren't necessarily really good for you? And they kind of drug you down? Yeah, me too. Have you ever made some hard decisions about with your friends? You're like, I think it's time for me to hang out with some other people instead. Yeah, me too. So a coach can help us with all of those types of things. And you're going to go back to your cabins and your rooms, and you're going to talk with your cabin leaders about a few of these things, okay? And we're going to learn tonight about two men, one named Timothy and one named Paul. All right? And here, listen to what... So, it says this. This is 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 2. And this is Paul writing to Timothy. I am writing to Timothy, my true son in the faith. Not biological, not real flesh and bone son, but my spiritual son. The person that I've been coaching and training up to become a good Christian man. Okay? We're going to learn a little bit about Paul and a little bit about Timothy tonight. About how they have had a coaching and coach relationship. Okay? Alright? I think it's crazy that Abib trained his body and trained his feet to be able to run barefoot a marathon. And as amazing as that might be, I know with the right training, you can do things for God that will just be astonishing if you have the training. Okay? So, we're going to pray and we're going to go back to our rooms. Father, we thank You for this day. We ask, Lord, that You will help us to understand all the things that You want us to understand. Train us. Help us to find good coaches that can train us to be the men and women that follow You with all of our hearts. In Your name I pray. Amen.